And in our study of Jeremiah in the light of God, we're trying to get all the much as we can at the, out of God's word in his presence so that we can be the beneficiaries of his recording what he said. And in Jeremiah, back Israel, Jerusalem, Judah, their heart is set in the wrong direction, and it is solidly set, and the cement is just about hardened, to say the least. Now, in the light of that, over, if you would, hold your finger here for a minute, over to chapter 7, just to remind you, God mentions it several times, and it will help us. Jeremiah chapter 7, picking up, please, in verse 16. Therefore, pray not thou for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee. You know, he repeats this. So, A, Jeremiah and anyone else, don't bother bringing up the name of them. Don't even ask me to do anything. What I'm going to do, I'm going to do. So don't even bring it up. Now, back in chapter 18, Israel is reminded, Jeremiah is reminded, I should say, by going to the potter's house, that Jerusalem and Judah is all set in the direction, the wrong one. But, and not to pray for them. Now, and Jeremiah goes to the potter's house, and he gets a lesson about the potter taking a piece of clay that had been marred, ruined, and remaking it. And thus we shared in verse 6, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. So Israel is to understand as the potter, Jeremiah in particular, and us, to understand God is in charge. And Israel is doing what it's doing. The nations are doing what they're doing. And Israel is headed down the wrong road. But in doing that, God wants Jeremiah and us and anyone listening back then to understand God happens to be in control. He's in charge. The clay doesn't do anything. On the contrary, Israel isn't clay, though. Israel isn't quite clay. Humans are not clay. And therefore, they need the lesson. And thus you have in chapter 18, picking up in verse 7, At what time I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up, to pull down, and to destroy it. That when I choose to take and rise up and reduce down, to make succeed, to make fail. Do you understand? God said, I'm in charge. I'm in charge of all the nations, all the way through history. I'm in charge. So you need to know that. Jeremiah, that's the point. I want you to understand that. I don't want you to pray. Israel is set. But I want you to know something, which you already know, about my wonderful person. And all the nations rise up. Historically, Jeremiah would have that. And we have it certainly now. So in the light of that, rising up and falling down, over if you would now to pick up the flavor of this. Think of the clay and Jeremiah's assignment, by the way. Chapter 1 of Jeremiah, his assignment included Chapter 1, verse 9. And the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations, over the kingdoms, to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. In other words, you're going to be my spokesman, and you're going to just be the herald, and you're going to say, Nation rise, nation fall, and it's going to happen. I'm going to tell you, You, Jeremiah, are going to give the, you're a prophet, you're my mouth. I'm going to let everyone know, including Israel, what's going to happen to the nations. And that includes Babylon, not only Nebuchadnezzar, but even after that into the tribulation. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, back over to chapter 18. And in chapter 18, he's going to give the lesson. What is Israel missing? They need to understand. Jeremiah needs to understand that. Don't pray for nothing. Don't do anything about anything. Nope, sit tight. You don't have to. I'm going to do what I do based on my wonderful word and working and grace and mercy. Therefore, here's Jerusalem and Judah locked in. Now, verse 8. If that nation, remember condition, conclusion, if that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. Now, Jerusalem, Jeremiah isn't going to help you. No one's going to help you. Are you going to choose? You have the right to choose. I gave you the right to choose. You can change your direction, and I'll honor it. No one pray for them, because that's up to them to make that decision. Change your direction, and I will honor it. Don't help them. It's up to them. Principle. Verse 9. And at what instant, at what time shall I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it? When I want to raise up, I raise up. When I want to knock down, it goes down. Verse 10. If it do evil, here's the other side of the coin. If it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. I'm going to repent. I'm going to do good. You turn around in a different direction, you're not going to find any more good. No more good. You turn around. Now, so God, you're giving the whole thing now to Jerusalem, to Judah. What are we going to do? It's up to us. It's all centered in our heart. And God, you make it very clear, we have to make a decision and a choice. What are we going to do? Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, in the light of God's repentance and all of that, so therefore, in order to get this a little bit anyway, over to Leviticus and chapter 18. Leviticus and chapter 18. And you would recall chapter 18, picking up if I can, to get a little bit of the flavor of it, chapter 18, number 22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. That's gay, homosexual, and all the other junk. Now, verse 23. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast, animals, to defile thyself. Therewith neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is a confusion. It's way out of line. Now, having said that, that's idolatry as it was practiced and exercised. Verse 24. Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things. For in all these, the nations are defiled, polluted, which I cast out before you. In other words, God, they rise and fall, and that's because of their idolatry. Idolatry. Verse 25. And the land is defiled. Remember, we shared that. Therefore, I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. Now, remember, we shared that. In Jeremiah and chapter 16, 17, we went around to all the gates of the city and spoke of the Sabbath, The Sabbath is rest. They weren't observing Sabbath, period. And they haven't observed the Sabbath year, as we share together. That's a whole year where you do nothing. God provides everything. They hadn't done that year after year after year. The land is tired, worn out, and it's going to vomit Israel out of it. And that's why Nebuchadnezzar is able to go and take the city. It isn't because Nebuchadnezzar's army can beat God. It's because Israel has forfeited their right to blessing and God, and that's why they aren't going to get it. So you don't want to blame the enemy. The enemy doesn't get us. It isn't because of the enemy. It's because of the heart. Is our heart right? You control right in here. And no one can beat you ever. You have to choose to win or lose. You can never blame anybody else out there. You can't do that. You can't do it. God said it isn't the way it works. Because he made you what? More than a conqueror. He made you triumphant in everything. You can't lose if you're going to trust him. But Israel has to trust him. So here, the land, don't get into idolatry, which is what they did. They didn't observe a Sabbath. In Leviticus 18 and in verse 25, they defiled the land. And that's what the nations rise and fall based on what they do. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled. And verse 28, that the land spew you like vomit, spew you not out also when ye defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. Now, that's why they're all going to go. They're all in the wrong direction, in the wrong way. Now, while you're still in here, Leviticus chapter 20, and in chapter 20, verse 22, you shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and do them, that the land whither I bring you to dwell therein spew you not out. And ye shall not walk in the manners of the nation which I cast out before you, for they committed all these things, and therefore I abhorred them. But I have said unto you, you shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth milk and honey. And I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people. Now, God said, listen, if you honor me, but if you choose to go the wrong direction and get into follow what they did, which is what Israel did Jeremiah's day, they get into idolatry. And they get into idolatry, and that's what they filled the temple with, all kinds of pornographic stuff and everything. That's what they did. And God said, no more. And out they go. And that's why Nebuchadnezzar is able to beat them, because they did wrong. They could have never touched them. If it was only one Israelite, they couldn't touch them if they were honoring God. So now, having said that little bit, over if you would, and while you're here in the Deuteronomy, and chapter 28. Deuteronomy and chapter 28. And try that. And remember now, chapter 28, it's all about blessing and cursing. The whole context as we've studied. Chapter 28, verse 1. It shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, so that no nation is above you. You're on top of the pile. And that's what God was doing. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. And remember again, the blessings hunt you down. So if you're going to honor God, you don't have to go and hunt for blessing. The blessing will hunt you down. On the other hand, if you don't honor God, over chapter 28, verse 14. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to go to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. Thou shalt not do that. Now, if you do that, then you've got one pile of verses, a whole word after word after word. Blessings are limited. Cursing, wow. Verse 15, it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. So you're either going to go and be blessed or be cursed. Now, with that in mind, and in the light of what you're looking at in Jeremiah 18, over to chapter 30 of Deuteronomy. And you're familiar with it. Chapter 30. And you'll pick it up very quickly. May I go directly to verse 19, chapter 30. I call heaven and earth to record, bear record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Make a choice. Blessing or cursing? Jerusalem, make a choice. Jeremiah, don't say anything. It's up to them. Make a choice. Are you either going to change and repent, or are you going to stay in the same course? If you stay in the same course, you're in trouble. You have the right to choose. You are sovereign God, absolutely. But I want you to know, I gave you the right to choose. Hang on, let's see if we can get it a little bit. Over, if you would, please. In your Bible, Daniel first. And you know all these things, but I just want to make you make a little note mentally. Because here's the nations rising up and falling, and God's in charge, no question. And in Daniel chapter 2, picking up, please. And you know, the whole section is about the times of the Gentiles, Nebuchadnezzar, Media Persia, and Greece, and Rome, and the United States of Europe over there, and all of it. Now, so Daniel chapter 2, verse 31, it starts, and then you slide all the way over, and all of it's going to happen, inch by inch, every nation rises up and disappears, rises up and disappears. And when you come to verse 44, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven, that's United, what we're looking for over there in Europe, to take place. In the days of these kings, 10 nations, 10 parts of it over there. In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain, out of the kingdom, without hands, in other words, it was God's doing, and no one else, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, every nation from Babylon to Rome, and etc. And the gold, the great God hath made known to the king that what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation is sure. Do you understand? All the nations are going to rise up, and they're going to rise up, and they're going to have a purpose. They lose the purpose. They go overboard in many ways, and God removes them, and another nation comes in. And that's all the way down the line. Now, having said that little bit, And keeping that in mind, God's movement of all this. Now, over, if you would, please, to go back and we'll pick it up. Well, let's do it a little different thing. You're in Daniel. Go over to Jonah. Remember, they make a choice. They have to make a choice, and they have a right to make a choice. And hang on to that. And here's Jonah, illustration again. And in Jonah chapter 1, may I pick up, you know, the story of Jonah and the great big fish that swallowed him. And he was supposed to go to Nineveh as God's man, God's voice. Arise, chapter 1, verse 2, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and it was, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. In other words, we're going to have to go, and they're going to be judged. If they don't fix things, what do they need to do to fix them? Jeremiah 18, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You got to go, and if you change your ways and repent, turn around. I'm waiting for you to turn around. You don't control anything, but you do care which direction you do. You are in charge which direction you go. That's up to you. Now, hang on. So here's Jonah. And in chapter 3, verse 1, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah a second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Repent, remember. And verse 3, and Jonah arose and went into Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city, and a 3 days' journey, and boy, it was a big place, like New York or something. Now, in the light of that, in verse 4, and Jonah began to enter the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And Jonah is pronouncing judgment, and in 40 days, like Sodom and Gomorrah, it'll be all over for it. Now, so that he went up and down the streets. You can imagine how popular he was, going up and down the streets. Now, over, if you would, in picking up in verse 9. Now, he does all that. And who can tell, verse 9, who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? So what are they saying? Maybe God, if we fix things, God will back off. God won't do anything. That's them, unsaved people. If we fix something, change things, and that's happened throughout history occasionally. Now, so here they are, and in verse 10, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil, there's your verb we're going to look at, and that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. And you know what? They lasted another 160 years, plus or minus a year or two, before they were judged. They lived. They never got saved. But God spared that nation for 160 years approximately, just because they turned around. They didn't get saved. They just fixed things. Think of when Billy Sunday and all of them used to be running around the country. And they would come. And when they would come into town, people, the businessmen didn't like them. That because, why? Well, the bar rooms had no more business. Every houses of prostitution had no business. They went out of business. They came in and people changed their lives. They didn't all get saved. They just stopped doing things. They changed, wonderfully changed. They didn't drink. They didn't do a whole lot of things. They just stopped. And God honored that time of history. Here in Jonah's day, God honored the whole city. God honored it. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, if you would, now, over in your Bible to Genesis, we're going to pick up our little word repentance. As you know, because God repented. He said, I'll repent if you fix it. If you don't fix it, I'll judge you. It's up to you. I'm not going to help. Well, someone's going to come. No, you don't. It's all in your own court. All in your own life. Choice. Now watch. Adam and Eve, as you know, Adam and Eve had a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. God gave them everything. He gave them everything. And they had no sin nature. All they had to do, though, to show that they understood God was in charge and that they honored God and honored him, he gave them the right to choose. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Genesis 2. Don't eat of that tree. You can do anything else. You can play football with the tree. But don't eat of it. Don't eat it. And Eve already had it in her, and so did Adam. The thing, well, maybe, with the thinking independent of God, we're going to go, and God's holding out on us. And so when they went and ate of the tree, sinned, they already had done so in their heart. All they did is express it. That's all. It was already in their heart. Same with the devil. Now, having said that a little bit, so here's Adam and Eve, and they had choice. You know, might as well finish it. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Don't have to turn there. God gave a promise to them. After they sinned, they had the right to make another choice. To believe or not to believe. I'm going to save you. Will you believe me? Or won't you? And they chose to believe. Genesis 3, 20 and 21. They chose to believe. Choice, 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 choice. Choice. Now, here comes Cain and Abel along, and Cain and Abel, they knew all choice. Cain chose wrongly, Abel chose rightly. They made a choice. That's what they did. People make choices. That's right. God, are you God? Absolutely. Well, then how come the world's going like it is and people do what they do? Because of choice. They have the right to go with me or against me. I gave it to them. Now hang on if we can get there. Over, if you would please, in Genesis chapter 6, as I started to say. Chapter 5 first. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 29. And remember now, the birth of Noah. And he called his name Noah. Noah, rest, cessation of work, comfort. That's what that means, Noah. And saying, this same shall comfort us. That the word comfort is the word repentance. The word repentance means taking a breath, breathing. Ready to take it in, to change, to take a breath, to move forward. Now, so when it comes, depending on the verb and everything, when it comes to that, you can either take a breath and exercise pity intensively, compassion, and reach out and comfort, it's translated comfort them. On the other hand, I'll condemn them. Now, you have to take your pick. Which way do you want the word to come out, positive or negative? And therefore, Noah, because of the ground was cursed, remember, and he called his name Noah, saying, the same shall comfort us concerning our work, the toil of our hands, because the ground which the Lord hath cursed. Now, so God knows they were having an awful time, and instead of getting their heart right, interestingly, when things were so hard to live, they did evil continually. That's interesting. When it was hard to grow, plant, to just live, they did evil continually, worse and worse. Thus, if I can, chapter 6 and verse 6. And it repented the Lord, there's your verb, changed. When you think of the word repented, think of change, a change of thinking, a change of mind. a change to go from one direction to another. Make a change. Going the wrong way, go the right way. Doing it wrong, fix it. Saying it wrong, fix it. Now, in verse 6, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart, sliding down verse 7. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Now God, all they had to do was not be like Noah. You say, well, that's not fair. Noah chose to believe God. Why didn't anyone else? Because they were all doing their thing. And they all want to do their thing in a most worldly way. Now, so in the process of that, here's Noah, and Noah is going to walk with God, etc., in verse 8 and 9. Now, sliding over, if I can, in the light of that, over to Exodus. Now, they had a choice. Are they going to choose? The world is busy choosing. Hang on, we'll get there if I can, quickly. Exodus chapter 32, picking up in thought, another God, historic history, help me understand how it works, how it goes. Chapter 32, may pick up, please, in verse 7. And the Lord said unto Moses, go, get thee down, for thy people have, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. And they've turned aside quickly out of the way, which I commanded them. They have made a molten golden calf, and they're worshiping it and sacrificing unto it, etc. And said, these be our gods. They're our gods, not God, but these are our gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Now, and so they're very stiff-necked people, verse 9. Verse 10, now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. Remember, we studied all that. That God would eliminate them all, one shot, like it in Noah's day, and God would take Moses, and God would take him all by his lonesome and start all over again. No problem at all. No problem. Well, no, it's not fair. Wrong. You don't understand sin and what God has done. And the human heart is horrendously evil. Hang on. Our old nature. That's what we do. Reckon yourself what? Dead, Romans 6:11. Dead. That means you have no thought, no cares. It doesn't matter what anything was. It doesn't matter because you're dead. Now, Moses, that's what God, Moses is looking to God, and he's on top of everything. And in the process, what's he do? In verse 11, and Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why dost thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Verse 12, wherefore should the Egyptians speak? Now what's your case? Your case, Moses, is good. Wherefore should the Egyptians, and God already knows that and brought it out of him, wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, mischief did he bring them out, and to slay them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth. God brought Israel out of Egypt to eliminate them. Wrong. Turn thou from thy fierce wrath, and repent of this evil against thy people. And remember Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You're going to point to what, Moses? Your name, God, is going to be mud. By that I mean, they're going to talk about you, that you took your prized possession people that are very special, and you eliminate them. You eliminate them. And that's going to not look good for you, God. The Egyptians are going to use it to applaud. And God said, I see it. Verse 14. And the Lord repented, there's it changed his mind to change a mind, his direction, his purpose. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. Now what did it? Moses had an argument, which God put there, so that Moses would say it and we'd read it. To what? Understand, God, your name is at stake in the whole arrangement of it. And we need to look to you, God. It's a choice, a matter of choice. And people are going to get what they get. And Israel's going to get what they get for 40 years, 38 more years, because they don't believe. That's why they're going to die in the wilderness, because they don't believe. They made a choice. Caleb and Joshua made a positive choice, and 603,548 made a negative choice. And they all lost their lives. That's what they did. It was a choice. They all made it. Now, hang on, and keep that in mind, if you would. Over to Galatians. We're going to move a jump, but hope it helps a little. Remember now, all people are doing what they, and you'll pick it up right now. Galatians, and in chapter 6, Galatians 6, may pick up the thought, verse 7. 6:7 Galatians. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap the everlasting life. So you're going to take your pick. Which way do you want to go? So here's the whole world. All humans are born, and they all have a choice. They're all born dead in sin, and they all have a choice. They're going to make a choice. That's right. Which choice are you going to make? And they keep making choices all the way down the line. So what do you want? Just God gives space, remember? We shared it with that. God lets the life work our way up to get full, not all the time, but most of the time, lets it get full so that there's no way they can't say God didn't give you every opportunity. God gave you 60 years of your life. God gave you what? Did you ever do this? I gave you all that time. You kept making choices, going, this is important in your life, and this is important in your life, and you kept doing that. When you kept doing that, year after year, you're building your own case against you, and you know from Revelation 20 and all that, the great white throne judgment, God, how do you judge them? Based on their sin? No, based on their works. It'll prove everything you did in your life was your choice in the wrong direction. You are judged for that. I told you, I'm going to do it, he said. I'm sovereign. But I give you a choice. A wonderful, wonderful choice. Now, hang on. Quickly, over, if you would please, over to Romans chapter 2. And you reap what you sow. That's true with planting and everything. And you got to keep after the weeds. Romans chapter 2. And you pick up a little word, and here in the New Testament, repentance, it means to change your mind. An afterthought. You think about it and you change your mind, which is the same thing like in the Old Testament. A change. You change your thinking. I was thinking wrong. I had to think right. That's right. I got to change my thinking. Now, here's Romans chapter 2, a little word, verse 4 in the whole context. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance? That means holding in, delaying, holding back. Forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Don't you know that why God waited so long? That you could repent. That you could change. But you never changed. I let them all live in the Genesis flood. I let them all live. And they all lived. And they could have changed. And in the wilderness, they could have changed, but they didn't. They didn't. They waited 38 years knowing they were going to die. They didn't change. They could have. They had a choice, but they didn't make the choice. Now, so chapter 7. And in chapter 7, we get to the point, as you know, in verse 18, as you know that. For I know that in me, 7 and 18, that is in my flesh, my old nature, that dwelleth no good thing. So there's no way in your heart or head or mind that there's any good. It just isn't there. I don't care, whatever. God said it isn't there. So you're going to try to find it apart from God. You're not going to find it. God isn't going to find it. The angels aren't going to find it. Dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, and how to do the right thing, and I find not. I can't do God without you. And therefore, verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And we have that, the terrible, terrible struggle, etc., etc. And so I can't win in this. Nope, there's no way to win. But you have a choice, though. You always have a choice. Now, are you going to make the choice for God and to try to go in the right direction, or aren't you? And that's what you have to make a choice about. Now, so here's Romans chapter 8 again, verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal fleshly mind is enmity, hostility against God. So the carnal mind that's against, there's in fellowship, etc., God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So God, we can't do it. So we're going to keep choosing and leaving you out. Easy. What's worldliness? Worldliness is simply leaving God out. Running around doing anything, everything. Worldliness is anything in the world. And when you leave God out, leave it out. Just don't. God, worldliness, world system. What is the world system made up of humans? It's people that leave. The whole system is God. There's no room for God in it. There's no room for God's righteousness. There's no room for God's saving grace. It doesn't exist. Now, keeping that little bit and understanding that better, over to Philippians chapter 2. And in Philippians chapter 2, choice. And Jerusalem, Judah, you have the right to choose. And God is going to say that in chapter 18 and the next verse or so. He's going to say that. Why don't you choose? It's up to you. No one's going to help you. No one needs to say anything to you. We need to exhort them. No, it's up to you to make that decision. You have the choice, and you have made a negative choice. It's time to make a positive choice. Now, in chapter Philippians, you know it. It's a wonderful thing. Put it together in the light of having to make a choice. It's always up to us to make a choice. We're either going to be blessed or cursed. We're either going to be with it or not. It's going to be right or wrong. What are we going to do? We're going to think right, or we aren't going to think right. Verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation. You can't work out anybody else's out with fear and trembling. Do it soberly. Do it with a wonderful, wonderful expectancy of God's wonderful blessing by choosing. Work out what? Not your plan and purpose. Work out God's saving grace in your life. That's what to do. Work out God's saving grace for you, not anyone else. So you draw a circle and you, God, work on me. And having said that, now God, you said if we make a choice, I want to work out your saving grace in a person in our life. When I do that, God, what do you do? Verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. When you choose me, my plan, my saving grace, I choose you. And I'm there to make it work. I'm there to make it work. You just have to trust me. I want you to make a choice. Are you going to choose where I am or not? I choose where you are, then God is going to honor that. Wow. Now, so having said that and keeping that over, if you would, in your Bible, over if you can, Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. And again, Paul is going to help us. God's wonderful ministry, Paul the Apostle. And in chapter 26, picking up, if I may, in verse 20. I got to read verse 19 anyway. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them in Damascus, and at Jerusalem, and throughout the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles. What was it you showed them? That they should repent, they should turn around, make a change in the direction, have an afterthought and fix it, that they should repent and turn to God and do works fit or meet, worthy is the word, for repentance. Turn around and stay in the right direction and show it. By their fruits you shall know them. Go in the right direction. Turn around and fix your life. That's all. I'll bless you. You have the right to turn around. You have the right to go forward. You either choose or you don't. It's up to you. You say, well, I got time sometime, other times I don't. No, you have to choose. Walk by faith and not by sight, etc. Walking in the truth. So now, in closing, over to the Gospel of Luke. In the Gospel of Luke, if I may, remember now the parable, the sheep, and the etc. And the Spirit of God, the Lord is the great shepherd of the sheep, etc. And he saves the sheep, a sheep. And in the process, chapter 15, verse 7. Well, I'm going to read verse 6. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven. In heaven now, not earth. Over one sinner that repenteth. There's your little verb. More than over 99 persons that don't need to repent. Everything, heaven is all excited when someone chooses to go right. Isn't that interesting? Big this. No, God's looking. The angels know it. The devil knows it. The devil believes. The devil doesn't have a problem with God. He knows this God. He believes God. So the people say, we don't believe in God. Well, the devil does. And so to not believe, God, so here's the whole, think of the days of Noah, that whole massive number of people, and then there's Noah that was walking with God. Angels rejoice, verse 10, likewise I say unto you that there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth, changes, makes a choice, turns around and goes in the right direction. Now what's so hard about that? Don't you want to go in the right direction? I would if I was going on the wrong road. Wouldn't you? I'd want to turn around. I get good directions and go get my vehicle going in the right direction. Otherwise, I'm not going to get where I'm going. Well, where are you going? Well, I don't know. I'm going where everyone else is going. Is that where you want to go? Where everyone else is going? No. I want to go. God, you said you're the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by me. I want to go your way. God said, make the choice. I do. Isn't that all we ask? What do we do? We're going to pray now and make God's thing happen, right? No. No. What we're looking for is to be in agreement with God, and God's going to make everything happen. Your Father knoweth already everything. He wants to see, are you with him? And when you turn around and look to God. And God, we look to you, and there you are, and we're going to trust you with all our heart. So God, all we want is your will. That's all you ever told us to ask for. Ask, and you shall receive. All of that, it's just your will. And God, you want it. And then God, what? So I choose to your will for my life, for our moment, for the next minute, for the next day. I choose your will. Work, home, school, play, much, hard, easy, little. Hard things, little things, I choose. That's my choice. I have it right. And I'm going to reap the direction that I choose. pretty good. God said, listen, I'm the potter, and you're in my hand. I'm looking to see what choices you're going to make. That's all I want to know. So God, it's a wonderful thing. And I have to tell you, because we are in the presence of more or less good angels and bad ones, which you're going to do, and in the light of that, God, the angels are excited when you keep choosing God. Now, you couldn't have anyone more excited about it. They get the people excited. No, they aren't excited. But when angels are excited, and God tells you they are, wow, that's an awesome thing, isn't it? Wow.